points. When you reflect, did you experience the presence of God most powerfully, most distinctly? And almost invariably, the answer was when I needed Him most, when I was hurting the most. And in the middle of it, I kind of wondered where He was, but I look back on it and I say, He was there and He strengthened me. And this is where thinking about it in advance can be helpful. I know a lot of Christians who are really good with their catechism and such. They know the facts. They've got the head stuff straight. You know, they can give you the 5 points. They can, you know, they can quote Scripture. They've even memorized the Athanasian Creed. You know, I don't know if anybody's actually done that, but they got this stuff all straight. But somewhere deep inside, they haven't internalized this guarantee that God is our refuge and strength in the middle of the surging sea. And so I think people who weather storms well have 3 characteristics. One is they have a faith that is deeply rooted and genuine. They have developed more than the fact knowledge, they developed the connection, and they know that what God promises is true. Real faith begins by simply saying, God, I can't do it on my own. I've sinned. I need forgiveness. I can't be good enough ever. Please come into my life. And then it goes on and it builds from there as we live our lives and learn more and more that God is our refuge and our strength. In addition to a solid and deeply rooted faith, people weather storms when they have friendships that are true. In Ecclesiastes, the wise man says, if either of them fall down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Some of today's hurts can be so unbearable that we can only bear them when we bear them together. Just learned yesterday that the wife of a couple that was in our last church, she developed heart problems about a week ago, and she passed away yesterday. And her husband is a fragile person emotionally anyway. And I was scared for him. And then I got a call yesterday from someone who said, I want you to know that he's been threatening suicide. And I thought about it, and I called the couple that had been closest to this man for the last 20 years, and I knew the connection was there. And I said, Bob, I need you. And I was told we spent 2 hours with him earlier today. That's what friendship does. That's what connection does. And in many ways, that's what being part of a church does. We develop the connection with others, and it can be simple things like bringing a meal. It can be much deeper things like just sitting with and crying. But it helps us get through well. We have a deeply rooted faith that knows the promise that God is our refuge is true and that cannot be shaken. It's got friends that carry it with us. And then there's what I'll call an indomitable spirit. I like that word, indomitable. Sounds neat. It means unconquerable, won't quit, going to go through to the finish. I think all of us at some point or another may hit a quitting point. It's kind of like people who are on the marathon and they have to break through that wall of pain that happens somewhere around miles 16 to 20. I hear I've never run a marathon. But so many people quit. They get to that point and they just say, I can't do it. It's the indomitable spirit that says, I will push through this and I will not quit. The Bible says, do not grow weary in doing good. It says, finish the good fight, or fight the good fight, finish the course. The key to an indomitable spirit is the growing awareness that no matter what the pain, a pain or a distress or a doubt or a fear that feels like it will never go away, with God's help it will. And here again, the testimony of those who are a little older may help those who are a little younger. Because if you're 50 or older, you have hit these walls. You have hit these quitting points. You have gone through these storms. I don't know anybody who reaches middle age who can say, I've had it easy the whole way. And you talk to these people, and they will tell you, yeah, we thought about quitting too, but we wouldn't. And if we have that faith that is rooted in the promise that God is with us, and friends who connect with us and carry the burden with us, and a spirit that says we will not abandon God, we work through it. And once we've worked through it, there are some amazing results that often happen. I'm just going to run through three and we will be done. One is, going through a storm of a particular type can build into us a deep compassion for others going through those same storms later. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of divorce care. It's a common church program to provide support, Christian support, to people who are going through or have gone through a divorce. Almost inevitably, the best divorce care programs are run by people who are 3 to 6 years out of a divorce, have gone through the storm, have stayed connected with God, have discovered that He is still present, and help other people to experience the same because they know what it's like. Grief share, same thing. People who have lost really close loved ones. And then they gather in support groups. And the people who have come through the outside or the end of that storm, and they're still grieving and they're still in pain, but they're past that point of complete loss. But they have compassion for those who are in the middle of it and they carry them through. The same is true for so many situations. In Scripture, Paul says that God comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the same comfort we ourselves receive from God. We learn what it means, and because we have learned how to get through, we help others get through. It wasn't in my notes, but I had a discussion with someone about this just a couple days ago, and it comes to mind. I was one of those adolescents who struggled. I've struggled a lot, and I'm not going to give you a big litany of how bad I was. I was actually a pretty good kid in a lot of ways. I only got suspended from high school twice. Smoked, but never got caught on campus, and drank. Only got caught during my senior year by my parents. I was not the child who doesn't give a parent gray hair. And I came through it. I mean, God gave me a new purpose and a new direction, and I don't want other people to go through what I went through, but I tell you, a lot of adolescents do. And I have been told by people that the fact that I know what it's like because I've been there has given me as a pastor the ability to truly serve other adolescents who are going through the same thing. And I think a lot of people who have kind of gone through their childhood years without, you know, ever got called to the principal's office and they got all good grades, and, you know, there's a tendency when they see teenagers who are struggling to say, huh, they're just trouble. You know, throw them away. When you've gone through it, you understand it. God comforts us. We can give comfort to others. Storms help us develop deeper relationships with others. I mean, we need friends to help carry us through, and in doing so, we get closer to those friends. Been true in my family, been true for many of us, that when we look back and we think about the people that we are closest to, that we love the most, that we spend time with, they are people who have walked with us through some of the tough times. Trenton Smalley, who are psychologists or family counselors and have done some Christian tapes in the past, do this thing about how you develop a glue in a family that binds that family together, so that when disagreements or troubles come, the glue is so solid it will not dissolve and break. And the symbol they use for developing that glue is a tent. Because they said there's nothing like developing glue in a family other than going through shared struggles. And there's nothing about shared struggles that's not involved when you go out tenting. You know, you're putting the tent up, and before it's up, it's raining. There's always something. Those of you who have, I'm not talking these big RVs, I'm talking about tenting. You know, something always goes wrong. But those experiences tie us together. And finally, storms help us grow spiritually. In 1 Peter, the apostle says, "The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little, will himself restore you and make you strong." After you have suffered a little, he will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. It's in and through the struggles that some of that happens. Real quick summary. Why do storms happen? A whole bunch of reasons, all involving sin in one form or another. And if you're in the middle of the storm, I just ask you, don't ask. Because typically, except maybe for the guy who smoked for 30 years, we can't point to one thing and say, that's why. We won't know this side of heaven. But when they come, trust God, live with each other, and don't quit. And by doing so, when you come out the other end, you will discover that you're better prepared to support and love and care for other people. That you're better prepared to connect and be part of the family and the church. And that you are stronger in your faith than you were before. And I'm done. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes life is really, really hard. Unbelievably hard. There are families, and we don't know why, but we know families for whom the storms are the norm and not the exception. It's one health thing after another, after a financial struggle, after a broken family, after health again, and it just goes on and on. Give a special grace to those people. Draw close to them. Let them know that you have not forgotten them. For all of us, there are times that our hearts cry, "Why are you so far from me, my God? Why?" And in those moments, by your Spirit, secure our faith against the doubt. Give us hope in the midst of the fear. And may we rest in the promise that God is our refuge and our strength.